Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Morning. You all right?
I hope you are. Sincerely do. Genuinely hope you are. Hope you had a good evening. You bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raving for the day ahead. Come on, wakey-wakey, eggs and bakey. Let's go. The day's half over. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. I'm all good.
Is Harry even real? He's laughing. It's just an AI-generated. I've got a foot pedal where I've got a soundboard where he goes, yeah, I'm all right. I just press it. He's not real. He is real, he is real. I just dehumanised the man there. Little Harry's not that little, he's taller than me. He's just not as big as Harry Robinson, so... Big Harry, little Harry. You get it. All right, that's quite enough faffing about, isn't it? Oh, no, wait. I've still got to say that it's now 8:01 in the AM, British summertime, on Thursday the 20th of August in the year of our Lord, 2026. God, August is going quickly, isn't it? Seems like to me. Oh, year's going quickly. Seems like just the other day it was the first episode, the inaugural episode of Breakfast with Beau. The Beau Show, colloquially known as the Beau Show. Beau's Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me. Hashtag the real BBC. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Hashtag the real LBC. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Right, that is enough faffing about, though. That's plenty. There's plenty of fannying around for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. What have we got here? What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to lie to us about by omission? What's that cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell us is or isn't important? We've got Harry's coming home. Not Harry Kane, that's Harry Saxe Coburg Gotha, Harry Windsor. Prince Harry and his annoying wife are apparently going to move back to Britain. We'll get into it. It's on a lot of the papers. One of the main things in the news cycle this morning. And day trip tragedy. Do you remember yesterday we brought to you the tragic story of a family of four that got in difficulty in the sea? Was it off the coast of Sussex, was it? Three of them died and one of the daughters was struggling for her life. They're Palestinian refugees. Okay, this is the news. This is the news. Right, the Daily Telegraph, the Tory Graph. Zionist slop now. Harry's coming home. Don't care. Don't care. I'll leave it to Dan Wharton. No shade at Dan Wharton. I like Dan Wharton. But I'll leave it to others to talk about the royal family. I do not care. In fact, actually, having said that, I care slightly because I would rather they stayed in California. Thinking about heading out California way. I'd rather they stay there because there's less of them in our news then. Surely when they come back, him and her will be in the news more, like significantly more, every tiny thing they do. It's been 6 years, it doesn't seem that long, does it? 6 years since they buggered off. That was nice. It was a bit of a respite from it all, wasn't it? Felt like. Every now and again, you get a little bit of Kate Middleton opening something, opening a supermarket or a hospital wing or something. You get a nice picture of radiant Kate Middleton. That'll do. I'll leave it at that. That's about as much as I'm interested in. But now they're going to come back, apparently. Duke and Duchess plan to move back to UK for children's school. Yeah, apparently it's all about sending their kids to British schools. Reunion with King... pardon me. Reunion with King last month cited as key step in reconciliation. Was it? Was it? Don't care. All right, what else have we got? British COVID scientists plotted to cover up lab leak theory. Did they? My God. How people like that, Chris Whitty and Matt Hancock, haven't been brought to account. Well, we had a COVID inquiry, didn't we? A massive COVID inquiry. It's a giant whitewash. It sort of concluded, didn't it, largely, that if anything, Boris didn't go far enough, quick enough. All right. So we've got a Fauci in our midst, have we? We've got a Fauci-adjacent, insane scientist-type dude who plotted to cover up lab leak theory. I mean, it's not just a little bit cheeky, is it? It's not just like a bit annoying or a little bit out of order. To me, that's a crime on a massive, massive scale. Okay. Okay. Cambridge Chancellor says, we must uphold academic integrity. So the Chancellor of the whole of Cambridge University has come out. I briefly read this article this morning. Coming out in favour of making sure people don't plagiarise their PhDs. Or any essay, for that matter. So, at least he's come out. I think it's a he. It might not be even. I can't remember. No, it is, yeah. Lord something. Lord Finsbury or something. At least he came out on the side of reason. Actual academic rigour. Like, yeah, you can't just plagiarise PhDs. Good. That's like, that's the least you could ask for him to come out and say in some sort of statement, wouldn't it be? Okay. Can't plagiarise your PhD. Good. All right. Jails to run out of space despite early release. Something else needs to be done. Perhaps we could deport the 10,000 odd foreign criminals in our prisons. No? Would that require leaving the ECHR and various other things? Maybe even some legislation in Parliament to repeal one or two things? Add one or two things. Labour Party have got no appetite for that. So, prisons are full. More early releases then, I suppose. That's their policy. It's the only way they're prepared to deal with it. More of the same, I suppose. What else would there be? Rayner defends work from home in the civil service. Of course she does. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird. You know, Angela Rayner is 7'2". She doesn't look it, does she? She's though. She's 7'2" tall, and she weighs 500 pounds. She's a real unit. I'm joking, she's not 7'2", 500 pounds. She's 6'2", and 320. I have fired my entire HR team and all my problems vanished, is the headline. I guess. I haven't seen the inside of the Telegraph today, so I'm just guessing this dude owns a business, runs a business. That's all I can assume. He's a CEO. Yeah, he fired his HR team and all his problems vanished. Yeah. No S, Sherlock. Yeah. Aren't HR HR teams in big businesses anyway? They're there to generate problems, aren't they? If you've got a problem employee, like a grievance employee, well, HR is just there to facilitate them, aren't they? I mean, when I was younger, HR just dealt with payroll. That was about if there's a real insane incident and someone had to get fired because they'd done something really mental, HR might get involved then. Otherwise, very, very small department. Very, very minimal impact on the day-to-day of everyone else in the company. Not the same anymore, is it? HR constantly sticking their fingers into every aspect of the company. Getting involved, making things more difficult. And we've got sort of the... I can't remember who phrased this. Was it Ed Dutton? Somebody good talked about this the other day I saw. I can't remember where I read it or heard it. Like the HRification of Britain, of our whole country. The HRification of... the way the police do their job. Just constantly nitpicking. Have you done this little thing? Well, you do this little thing. And it would be wrong if you didn't do this little thing. On into insanity. Okay. So this, I didn't read this one. Match of the disarray, BBC show in turmoil. Is that like match of the day? Is that a clever pun from the Telegraph? From the German-owned Zionist anti-British Telegraph. Match of the disarray. Very clever. Very, very clever. Needed someone with an undergrad in English Lit from Oxford or Cambridge to come up with that one. All right, the Sun. What sloppy joes of the Sun thrusting into our face against our will this morning? Harry and Meghan. All right, okay. 6 years after Megxit, royals moved back from US to raise kids in UK. Harry and Meghan coming home. Don't care. I can't force myself to care remotely what they do or say. Lots of things. As you get older, I think, certainly in my case, just step over things, step around things, just ignore more and more things. Just ignore it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested. I haven't got time. It's just a waste of energy and time. The Times, the venerable Times. What have we got here? Mahmood, Shabana Mahmood, the Pakistani woman who somehow found herself LARPing as the Home Secretary. Wealthy areas must take their fair share of asylum seekers. Oh, if you say so. If you say so, cuckoo in the nest. You say so, foreign entity in our government. If you say so. Wealthy areas must take, we must take our fair share. Fair according to who? Why are you using the word fair? There's nothing fair about this. What do you mean fair? It's not fair that we're being flooded against our will by our foreign invaders, whose crime rate per capita, per capita politics, Joe, and Navarra Media, I'm talking about per capita, their rate of committing crime is through the roof, particularly sex crime. And you're going to talk to us about fair whenever we've tried to voice our opinion since like the 50s, since the 1950s, we've always said we don't want loads and loads of foreign people here. Why should we? Other countries don't do that. That's mad. You're going to talk about fair. It's a fair thing to do, Operation Schmear. To just poke foreign criminals, essentially invading criminals, into every corner of England or Britain. You're going to talk about fair, Pakistani woman. Right. Okay. Okay. Vaccine for skin cancer helps fight off disease. I mean, this is good news. Good news, everybody. Vaccine for skin cancer helps fight off disease. Success could lead to more tailor-made treatments. There's one or two other headlines this morning talking about the same thing. Good. Excellent. Although there's one thing. There was one little odd detail about it. I think maybe it was on the iPaper. It was saying that perhaps this vaccine was born out of, not born out of, but in some way related to the mRNA type technology that was in the COVID vaccine. I mean, not that this skin cancer vaccine and the COVID vaccine are the same in any way. They're not in any way. Just conceptually, some of the scientific method used in it were the same. Does it make any difference? Does it matter? Don't know. Not sure. I'm not a scientist, unfortunately. Got my double GCSE in science and left it at that. Okay, all right. Royal return, Harry and Meghan are moving back. Are they? All right. Another picture of the Queen. Miller Parker Bills. There. All right. The Daily Mail, pure subversion. More subversive. Pardon me, than The Guardian or The Metro, because it's pretending it's not. At least The Guardian's pretty open about what it is, about what it does. The Mail, trying to pretend it's nativist or patriotic in any way. It's not. It'll try and destroy people that are, in fact, won't it? The Mail Group. I said in my article years and years ago that got me in trouble with Hope Not Hate and Deselected from Reform, I said in that the Mail Group, the entire Mail Group, should be seriously looked at if we had an actual decent government. Look at closing them down, along with the likes of The Guardian and the BBC, for being seditious. But day after day after day, trying to ruin the very fabric of our society. Yeah, the Mail, yeah. Yeah. Rishi Tyson didn't like that. You can't be a reform candidate and say such things. You can't. Probably could now, actually. Probably could now. My only crime was being ahead of the curve, I suppose. Reform have actually come out and said a few things as their policy now, which were beyond what I wrote in that article. C'est la guerre. Dodged a bullet, really. Don't want to be in a party with loads and loads of like Muslim people and Indian people. Actual, like, Indian nationals and stuff. No, I want my country back for me, for us. Okay. Reform is just part of the containment machine. Ministers forced to tell asylum seekers don't rape women. Yeah. They had this in Sweden, a similar thing in Sweden years ago. Before I was even at Lotus Eaters, I think, where their government came out and said to their new arrivals, remember, it's a bit of a no-no to sexually assault and rape women. Please don't. We've taken the mickey out of it then. I mean, not really laughing, like it's funny. It's the furthest thing from funny. But taking the mickey, you know, saying, can you believe this? Well, we've got exactly that now. After dozens of migrants are convicted of sex attacks, is it dozens? Is it dozens? Do you mean thousands? Home Office issue booklet warning that it's against law in Britain. And in fact, on the Daily Mail, I think it's the Daily Mail. Yeah, the Daily Mail website. Let's have a bit of a further look. Ministers now forced to tell asylum seekers don't rape women. But it's an insane new booklet, according to the Tories. Teaches migrants how to avoid committing sex crime in Britain. Yeah, the Tory says it's insane. We shouldn't have to. I'm not going to take any. I'm not going to listen to what the Tories say about anything ever again. The vast majority of the millions of people that are here that shouldn't be came in under the Tories' watch. I'm not going to listen to what the Tories say. Look, here we go. Look at the insanity of this. Historians surely will look back at this and it will just be mind-blowing. I hope. Be like, what happened in the early 21st century to a lot of the West, to a lot of the Anglosphere? Kind of insane situation did they get themselves into? Did their elite get them into? In the UK, both people must say yes to sex. This is called consent. You've got to tell people this. And you think that even if you just give them this pamphlet, whatever it is, then they'll immediately take it all on board and understand and completely change their behaviours off the strength of this. You're going to let them in anyway. You're letting them in anyway. If you have sex with someone who does not want to, this is called rape. Rape is a serious crime. It is still rape if you are married to the person or in a relationship. They agreed once but changed their mind. If you have sex without consent, you could go to prison. This will affect your asylum claim. Well, that's the most important thing. They don't want their people's asylum claims to be affected, do they? If you've been raped, you can help. Oh, now help for the rapist asylum seekers. If you've been raped, you will be treated with respect. Here's a load of rape crisis numbers for the migrants. What? It's insane. In the UK, men and women are equal. This means men are treated the same. Women can work, study, travel, and make their own choices. Why are we letting people in that would need to be told any of this? Why would we? Why should we? Treating someone unfairly because of their gender is not acceptable here. It can be against the law. If you treat someone unfairly because of their gender, you may be reported to the police and you may lose your asylum support. Oh, well. Let's try and prevent that. That's the key thing here. Cram in as many foreign barbarians as possible. More about the nature of sexual consent. Sorry. Look here. This is, again, historians will look back on this sort of thing and wonder really how it came about. The legal age of consent. The legal age of consent in the UK is 16. This means that anyone under the age of 16 is considered a child and cannot legally agree to have sex. Sex with someone under the age of 16 is a serious crime in the UK. There are no exceptions to this rule. Even if they say yes, it is still illegal, and you could go to prison. Lose your support and accommodation, and it will negatively affect your asylum claim. If you rape a child, you could lose your accommodation, and it will negatively affect your asylum claim. There needs to be an overhaul of the Foreign Office, that's the Home Office, well, and the Foreign Office, the Home Office. Of course, our borders and immigration policy, and then the Home Office. I mean, the Home Office sits above Border Force and the police, doesn't it? Things like the Border Force and the police, and even like the Coast Guard or whatever, is all under the umbrella of the Home Office, isn't it? So, we've got some real enemies of the people and the state sitting in the Home Office. But they will decide this is the best thing to do. But don't harass people. Don't touch people. Don't follow them. Don't block their path. Don't keep talking to them if they don't want you to. Crazy. Crazy world. Unbelievable. Okay. Another picture of Harry and his horrid wife. The Express. It's a good paper. You can read the Express now. It's a good paper. I'm being sarcastic. It's pure globalist slop like all the others. Very much like the male wearing the skin suit of a patriot or a nativist. It hates us. Outcry after government is forced to give asylum seekers advice on how to behave. Don't rape or beat up women when in Britain. The Queen's got an umbrella. The Queen under her umbrella. Ella. Ella. The Mirror. Pure Labour mouthpiece. The Mirror. Reform and restore derangement syndrome is off the scale. Mum, dad and daughter drown. Day trip tragedy. Father fled Palestine in hope. Little sister now fights for life. Probably should have stayed in Palestine then. Apparently the sea was so choppy. It was so windy. That people on the beach were like struggling to hold on to their phones. You know when you can't just stand up straight, you have to lean into the wind, otherwise you just get knocked over. Yeah. And the rescue people, the RNLI or the Coast Guard or whatever, couldn't get to them very quickly because the sea was so choppy. Why are you going in the sea then? Tragedy. Yeah, there's other tragedies going on, bigger tragedies going on. What about the 190-odd rapes that happened to British native white women just yesterday? That not a tragedy, no? No, okay, all right. The Metro. Oh, God. Oh. Absolutely disgusting. The Metro. Real subversion. More victims in summer swim deaths. Refugees family who drowned in seaside tragedy. Okay. Summer deaths. There's more summer deaths. The death toll from the heat is just so gigantic. It's just Britain's on fire. Do you remember? Britain's on fire. And it's a man-made heat wave. And if we're not careful, there won't be any food. And the wildfires are out of control because of man-made climate change. And oh no, downpours continue for UK with risk of flash flooding. Oh, we're back to flash flooding. Oh, it's flooding now. Oh. So we are a rain-swept island. Really, really wet, soggy, rain-swept, waterlogged island. Right. Okay, that's more the reality then, is it? Right, good. Okay. This morning on Sky News, Watch a little bit of in the morning, don't I? Just see what they're saying. While I'm having a touch of brekkie and or a cup of tea. They quite literally did that. They did that thing where they were talking about the heat wave and heat deaths, and then almost instantly pivoted. I mean, almost in the same breath, started talking about flash flooding. Do you know what it put me in mind of? Do you know what it reminded me of? In Orwell's 1984, there's a bit where he goes to Trafalgar Square. Winston goes to Trafalgar Square. And there's a guy there. I can't remember which way round is it, whether they're at war with East Asia or Eurasia. Right? And the guy, the political speaker, is standing up delivering a political speech. And a party apparatchik whispers in his ear. Just whispers in his ear. And as Orwell writes it, without pause, as he's talking, he starts saying the other one. We're not at war with East Asia anymore. We're at war with Eurasia. He says it as he's reading mid-speech without pausing, because the party whispered it in his ear. That's what that put me in mind of this morning on Sky News. It's really, really hot. It's drought. People are dying from the heat. And it's flooding. And it's flash floods. The reason why people don't pay as much attention to the legacy corporate lamestream media as they used to is stuff like that. I see it. We see it. But a lot of people are fairly credulous and stupid and relatively slow. And won't clock that necessarily. But a lot of people aren't that. A lot of people aren't. Everyone watching this, My Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, My Band of Brothers. A lot of people are a lot more savvy than the corporate legacy mainstream media give them credit for. Right, this refugee family, for their own sake, should have stayed in the Levant. The Guardian. Ugh. Suddenly a disgusting stench. What is that? It was like a dumpster in the heat. Absolutely sickening. Stomach churning. Coating the back of my throat. What is that smell? Oh, it's the Guardian. Working in Starmer's number 10 was unbearable, says ex-chief of staff. Okay, finally, a little bit of a story. A little bit of a real story. Sue Gray, remember her? Sue Gray? Offers her first insight into Labour government's early days. So she was Sir Keir Starling's chief of staff, number 10 chief of staff. Do you remember she was a civil servant for a long time, wasn't she? Remember, you know, civil servants are supposed to be completely apolitical, aren't they? They're supposed to be above the party political maelstrom. They're supposed to be completely impartial. Merely servants of the state. She was a very, very senior one of those. And then suddenly is in the upper echelons of Labour. And in fact, chief of staff at number 10. I think there's some sort of law that you can't immediately go from one role to another. You have to have like a year or 18 months or something like that. I can't remember the details. But she did the bare minimum that was required by law and is now right at the heart of the Labour machine from being a senior civil servant. That's Sue Gray. She went on some sort of podcast. Was it the one with... I think it might be the one with Ed Balls. Edward Balls, who searched for his own name. We've all done it. She went on his podcast and said that, at least in the early days, because she was left in like 2024, that it was like unbearable working there. That things like... I won't bother actually reading it for you, but I'll just paraphrase some of it for you. But there was an atmosphere that all senior people were backstabbing each other all the time and briefing against each other. They say briefing. All that means is going to a journalist and telling them stuff. Briefing against someone or other. You mean you know a Guardian journalist or a Telegraph journalist or whatever, the Sun, the Mount, whatever. You know one of them. You've got their number or whatever. And then you text them, email them, meet up for a drink somewhere in Westminster or whatever. Perhaps at a gentleman's club. And then you just tell them what's going on. That's briefing. Right, okay. Sue Gray was saying that loads of people were just, there was no sense of, you know, like tight lips. None of that. It was just everyone backstabbing everyone at all times. And that she feared that she couldn't just say what she wanted because someone would hear it. Unless she's in a room just with Keir Starmer, which would be rare. There's anyone else around, she can't really speak freely because she knows it'll just get leaked, briefed out to the mainstream media. So there's that. Okay, that's bad enough, right? But then her exasperation that Starmer would do nothing about it, was doing nothing about it, and didn't do anything about it. The Starmer bot 2.0. 2.17. Starmer bot with its 17 patches to try and make it actually work correctly, wasn't doing anything about it. Didn't care. Well, I don't know if he cared. He probably did care. I'm sure he cared, but didn't do anything about it. That's what I'll do in Bowes, Britain, if I ever found myself in that sort of situation. You were trying. Surely it's like de rigueur. It's par for the course. It's day one stuff that you at least try. You at least try to have the tightest ship possible. As few leaks as possible. When there is a leak, you do a mole hunt and try and find out who it is. You have like an anti-leaking team to try and find out plumbers. Don't break into any offices, though. Don't break into any psychiatrists' offices. No, you try and keep leaking to a minimum. And if there is a significant leak, try and find out who it is and get rid of them. Try and pick people in the first instance that you hope are least likely to leak. Apparently none of that was going on under Starmer. None. According to Sue Gray. And other general complaints. She's got other complaints as well. Okay. Here's a story. The IDF, the Israeli Defence Force, admits firing at car in which family died. Yeah, tell us about it. Yeah, including this little kid. Yeah. In Gaza it was. A while ago. There was some car. Don't know if it was trying to run a checkpoint or anything. I don't know. The IDF just fired into the car and killed all the people in it. I think all, maybe all. Anyway, apparently this kid was in the car, I suppose got hit, and but didn't die for like hours. They didn't get rescue services to her for hours, and then she did die. It's horrible, isn't it? That's really horrible. Just an individual story out of a mass of horrible stories. From there, of course. Why they pick this one, I don't know. Did I see something the other day? Was it? I don't know the exact numbers. I think I saw something like 70,000 people have died in Gaza since that October the 7th thing. Okay. Maybe Tony Blair can help turn the Gaza Strip into like some sort of Monaco, some sort of Macau-style brilliant resort. Yeah, all right. Mandatory GCSE resits can harm well-being. So it's GCSE result day today, actually, isn't it? Anyone you know, anyone in your family getting their GCSE results today? Best of luck to you. Yeah, best of luck to her. To anyone, sorry, not her. Best of luck to all the GCSE kiddywinks getting their results today. All right, the FT, the Financial Times. Tehran, this is a slightly interesting story, if true, if there's anything to it. Tehran targets Europe's US bases in sights. They quite often, this is in Tehran, this picture. A picture of Trump being strangled. Story did say that Tehran have said they're considering or will target bases in Europe that have helped facilitate Mr. Trump's, Bibi Netanyahu's war, in which he duped Donald Trump into doing. J.D. Vance, Yeah, Bulgaria. Okay, so there you go. I can barely read that. That is right. That is right on the limit of my eyesight. Bulgaria was named by Tehran. Some US assets, US airbase in Bulgaria. Cyprus. Which is our one, isn't it? That's our one. We have let US military craft fly in and out of Cyprus, haven't we? And Fairford, and a whole number of places, yeah. So, Tehran, along with a few other places, but Bulgaria and Cyprus was top of their list, apparently. They're going to strike things that are outside of the actual Persian Gulf region. Alrighty. Moderna shares doubled after success for custom-made skin cancer vaccine. Melanoma therapy breakthrough. Positive outcome in late stage trial. Good, I mean, good. Good. Apart from the possible MRMA aspect of the research. I don't know. It helps save people's lives, got skin cancer. Good then. All right, what else have we got? The IR paper. Oh, they go with the skin cancer thing as well. New skin cancer vaccine can stop disease and offers hope for era of personalized jabs. Promising treatment. Sequences a tumor's DNA before making patients' immune system attack their cancer cells to prevent disease returning. So truly personalized program, truly, truly personalized down to the cellular level of your cancer treatment. That's the future, isn't it? Right, they will sequence your DNA and then anything they need to do for you. It will be like your DNA. Say you need like a heart transplant or whatever, a kidney transplant, whatever, a hip replacement. They can grow you at some point in the future. They could 3D print you a new heart, a new hip, whatever. And at the cellular level, it's yours. Your body thinks it's yours. So it won't reject it, or almost certainly won't reject it. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing that. Some point in the future, biologically print out new lungs for you. And as far as DNA goes, they are your lungs. New set of them. It's crazy, isn't it? Wonderful, really, the medical science. Patients with high-risk melanoma remain free of cancer for longer after surgery. Treatment uses same mRNA technology that was used to make COVID vaccines. Landmark trial still needs peer review, although independent experts praise important moment and proof of principle and personalised cancer vaccines work. That's personalised cancer vaccines work. The results have potential to become good news for people with other cancers. Well, good. I'm not going to be cynical and sarcastic about that one bit. The Daily Star, pure slop. Well, look at this sloppy Joe. There was a bat in one person's toilet. It was so hot that a bat needed to cool down and somehow got in someone's toilet to do that. Heat wave hunt for water. Draculu? Pushing it a bit, isn't it? Draculu. Woman finds a huge bat chilling out in her lavvy. I'm not making that up. If you only listen to the audio of this, you might think, what's Bo saying? Why has he said that? I'm reading the headline. Draculu, a woman finds a huge bat chilling out in her lavvy. That is what the Star put on its front page. Could report on anything in the world. Anything in the whole world. That's what it goes with. If you buy and or read the Daily Star on a regular basis, you are retarded. Frankly, quite frankly, you must have the mind of a child if you choose to keep buying it. £1.60. It's not worth 16p, let alone £1.60. There you go. Okay, that tea's got a bit cold. Yuck. Don't do cold tea, me. move on to my backup water. This isn't a second cup of tea, as some people think, some people have said, even recently. Why has Bo got a second cup of tea? If the first one's gone cold, how hasn't the second one gone cold? There's just water in this. So, do think about getting the bell on. Helps us out. Make sure you're subbed to the channel. Whack the bell. It's free, isn't it? Whack the bell. Get the bell on. Why not? Well, they're the front pages anyway. They're the front pages. The increasingly absurd and infuriating front pages out of Fleet Street this morning. Right then. We do our poll about this time of the show, don't we, every day? Let's have a look at our poll. It was another day where I said to Harry, ask the chat what they want the poll to be. It's a little bit lazy, but also, I think, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, ultimately. Because very often we do a poll and people are like, oh, lame poll. What kind of poll is this? Sloppy poll. Let you guys decide. So I don't know what it is. I'm reading it for the first time here. Right. Okay, there it is. So we asked you guys, do you support reintroducing the death penalty? Oh. Got serious there. Reintroducing the death penalty. I do. I've said it a number of times on this channel. I mean, it's restore policy, isn't it? Or at least have a referendum on it. So, of course, the party wants it. Rupert wants it. I would want it. Carl's on board. Yeah. I think it was always a wishy-washy liberal wrong turn to get rid of it. Certain crimes, you deserve death. It's the morally wrong thing to do, not to kill that person. I think. Okay, so we asked you guys, do you support reintroducing the death penalty? 700-odd people voted in that, over 700-odd people. And the ayes have it. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Agree with me and Rupert that we should reintroduce the death penalty. And it's a stonking and overwhelming victory for the ayes. A cool 96% of you said yes. 4% of you say no. Go on, get out, get out. This isn't the podcast for you. Go on, just get out. Go and watch Rory Stewart then. You're not welcome here. Don't go though. That was a joke. That was blatantly a joke. I still love you. We can make this work. I still love you. Don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Till the night closes in. Okay. Let's have a look at the price of oil. We also check in on the price of crude on the open market. Do you want to buy or sell a barrel of crude? Well, this is how much it will cost you right now, in real time. If it's West Texas, a shade over $84.50 a barrel. And if it's Brent you're trading in, just shy of $92 a barrel. It's been hovering about this for the last, all this week, up slightly. I think at the beginning of the week, Brent was at 88. Not only is it surprising to me that it's still under $100 a barrel, but that it's as stable as it is. When Bibby's war first started in February and into March, not only did the price spike, it went up as high as, if I recall, like $117 a barrel. Did Brent break $120 a barrel? It's certainly not much higher than that at any point that I can recall. Anyway, not only did it go up as much as that, but it was also very, very volatile. I mean, you can expect that. What I'm saying here now is that I'm surprised it's not still that. That it's not way higher than it is and more way volatile than it is. It's not that volatile at the moment. At the moment. This week. So far this week. It's not very volatile. It's sort of just holding steady. Remarkable. That 60-day ceasefire thing that Trump and Iran had, that's ended. He's threatening to bomb Oman. Doesn't make a significant difference to the price of crude. Okay, interesting, remarkable, really, remarkable. All right, were there any other big stories of note today? It's mainly the royals. Again, it's August, it's slower news, isn't it, throughout August, silly season. It's mainly that Meghan and Harry are going to move back. Yeah, there you go. It's nearly all of them, isn't it? Look, Will's not looking happy. Apparently the king has basically, de facto on some level, forgiven Harry sort of allow Harry to come back. They're not going to be full royals again, working royals. Right? They're not going to be going around opening supermarkets and factories or anything like that. But Wills, insiders say, sources close to the prince say that he's still, like, apoplectic with his brother. Hasn't forgiven his brother for constantly talking about what goes on behind closed doors in the palace. That's your only job. It's your only job as a senior royal is don't talk openly about what goes on behind closed doors. That's really your only job, right? Like a domestic animal, like a domestic pet, your only job is to not be violent, right? Other than that, you get to live in the lap of luxury for your whole life. You're a domestic cat, a domestic dog. Your only job, your only function is don't be crazy and violent and hurt anyone. And if you're able to achieve that, you will be treated to one of the best possible lives it's possible to have with the royal family. Your only job, your only function, really, all the rest is nonsense. All the rest is window dressing, just made up busy work. Your only job is to not talk about what goes on behind closed doors. Discretion. Yeah, it's called discretion. Harry couldn't handle that. Nah. Harry's too important for that. He could talk about what he wants when he wants to anyone. All right. Let's do On This Day in History. It's now 1:45. I like doing this section. You guys seem to like me doing this section. Down through the centuries, name millennia, on this day, the 20th of August. What happened of note? Let's have a look-see. Oh, by the way, one note to say, one bit of housekeeping on This Day in History. The other day, I looked for other On This Day in History websites. Again, I've done this more than once. I did it again the other day. See if there were better ones. I can't find a better one than this. All the other ones, there's a fair few of them as well. All the other ones are more woke than this one. This is the least woke one I can find. If anyone finds a based On This Day in History website, let me know. Tweet it at me. I'll start using it. I will. It's not too bad, this one. It's not great. It's not too bad. All right, let's carry on. On this day, the 20th of August, in 1597, the first Dutch East India Company ship returns from the Far East. That's very early on, isn't it? Well, in my opinion, feels like it's very early on. I mean, it's still a century after Columbus or more. Not that Columbus went to the East Indies, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Still feels like that's quite early on in the Middle Ages. I mean, not that 1597 is early on in the Middle Ages. I mean, it's early on in the bracket of the window of time when Europeans started traversing the globe and trading significantly with everywhere in the world, effectively everywhere in the world. If you'd asked me, I would have thought it'd be later than that. But there you go. That's the historical fact. Okay, on this day in 1741, Alaska is first sighted by a Russian expedition led by Danish explorer Vitus Bering. You know, like the Bering Straits. Again, that's later than I would have thought. That's why history is endlessly interesting to me. Things like that. They only sort of discovered, quote-unquote, and named the Bering Straits in 1741. Was it a lot earlier than that, no? It was the Russians that did it, not the Spanish, not the English, not the Americans. Well, it wouldn't have been the United States. It didn't exist, but the Russians. 1741, that feels late to me, but there you go. Okay, on this day in 1905, Chinese revolutionary Sun Yat-sen forms the first chapter of the Tonmengaya, a union of secret societies determined to bring down the Qin dynasty. I believe that's pronounced Qin, isn't it? Qin? I think it's pronounced Qin. I've talked to John Wong before about pronouncing some Chinese words, because he obviously can actually speak. I can't remember what dialect of Chinese he speaks. But anyway. On my own channel, that one, History Bro, nothing behind the paywall there. I haven't actually got 100,000 subscribers. This is fake. This is digitally created by a little Harry. It's not real. I don't want to claim stolen valor that I've actually got 100,000 subs for History Bro. It's only like 20 something. Anyway. on there, I've got a massive series all about Mao Zedong. Is it like an 18-part series or something? And in that, I spend quite a long time, as I usually do, setting up the scene, setting up, talking of a lot about the 19th century China and early 20th century China, the world in which Mao Zedong was born into. Right, so anyway, in that, if you want to hear me talking all about Sun Yat-sen, it's there. Sun Yat-sen, the warlord, a warlord's warlord, you might say. Well, there's so much you could say about Sun Yat-sen, bloody hell. Like a Chiang Kai-shek before Chiang Kai-shek. These names meaning anything to anyone? I'll move on. If you're not interested, because I've said before, Chinese history isn't my forte until you get to about the 19th century. And then I know loads about it. I actually do know quite a lot about it. But it's when medieval or ancient Chinese history. Well, on Epochs, I have got a long-form bit of content all about the first Chinese emperor. Odaid's Epochs. That's on lotuseaters.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. I've got a long-form bit of content there about the first emperor. But that's like, he's in like the 3rd century BC or the 200s BC. Is Hongdi was his name, wasn't it? Qin Shi Hongdi. John Wong coached me on that once. I've probably got it all wrong again. Qin Shi Hongdi. Real Chinese people are like, don't, stop, don't, please. That was, you're embarrassing everyone. You're embarrassing us and yourself attempting that. Other people say, when with accents, other people say, at least it's so lazy to not even try. At least try and do an accent when you know, talk about things in Germany or France. You should try and pronounce it correctly. And other people say, no, that's really pretentious. That's really pretentious. Just anglicise it and say it in an English way. Can't please everyone, can you? Can't please everyone. All right. The Warsaw Pact. What's this? A Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia. Right. 1968, quarter of a million Soviet troops and Warsaw Pact troops invade Czechoslovakia at night to suppress the Prague Rising. Yeah, so what's that? That's the Prague Rising in 68. It's socialism with a human face. You ever heard that? You ever heard that expression? So in 1968, you know, Czechoslovakia was part of the Soviet bloc, of course, wasn't it? And they'd got a new leader. Was it Dubček? And he brought in loads and loads of reforms, which were massively popular in Czechoslovakia. Why? Because the Czechoslovakian economy was terrible. Why? Because of a central command economy, leftist economic theory. It never, ever works. It never works. Because of leftist economic theory, they were all very poor and they didn't want it anymore. Something between 60 and 80% of people were crying out for change and reform. They got in this new leader, Dubček, and he started doing reforms. He's not a complete break from the Soviet Union, from Moscow or anything, but just a different way of doing socialism. Socialism with a human face, he called it. Brezhnev couldn't have that. Moscow Center's not going to have that, you know. So Brezhnev sends in 2,000 tanks, quarter of a million men. Put that down. Kill a couple of hundred people. And kind of that. There you go, the Prague Uprising, 1968. There's loads more to it than that, of course. That's just the York Notes version, barely even the York Notes version. Look it up though, it's an interesting thing, I think. 1993, on this day in 1993, Oslo Peace Accords are signed between Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization, the PLO, after secret negotiations in Norway. A public ceremony in DC is held the following month. You want to know about that when Bill Clinton got, Yitzhak Rabin. He got Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat to shake hands. Wow. And they're all friends again. Let's start singing Kumbaya. Let's get our tambourines out. Let's start singing songs about lesbian seagulls and his peace. Everyone's happy now. Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin shook hands. It's all over. It's all over. Don't worry about Temple Mount or anything anymore. Don't worry about the tenets of Islam and Judaism. Don't worry about any of that. Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat shook hands. So, and Bill Clinton was standing there smiling. So it's all good. We're all good now going forward. How'd that work out for him? Oh, Yitzhak Rabin got murdered by his own people a couple of years later, ostensibly for that, for shaking hands with a terrorist, as far as they're concerned. Yasser Arafat didn't die until like 10, 11 years later, but surrounded in a compound by like Israeli tanks, whatever. Gone down in history as sort of a failure to make any sort of peace, if anything. The Oslo Accords, Bill Clinton's great push to save the Middle East. Yeah, right. It's an intractable problem. Both Judaism and Islam claim the same bit of land as their own, and their claim is implacable. That's at the nub of it, isn't it? That's the very stripped away as much as it could possibly be. Stripped down, passed down to the most simple state of affairs is that, isn't it? That both claim the exact same spot of land on the earth and refuse to share it. You can have all the accords and handshakes you want. Won't make a difference. Ultimately. Okay. That's enough of that. And now for something completely different. Our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Rumble Rants first. We always do Rumble Rants first. I like to do the same thing every morning because it's part of people's routine. Oh, Bo, why do you say the same phrases every day? Well, it's deliberate, yeah. Because it's part of a routine, a morning routine. Most people like it, prefer it. Like every breakfast show, it's like a routine thing. All right, is Global Church History going to be in at number one? I do hope so. Is it going to be a good day? First name Global, middle name Church, surname History. That's his real name. Yes, he is in it. It's a good one. And still reigning, defending the champ of Breakfast with Bo's Rumble Rants, Global Church History, with his two factoids this morning. Usually, if not always, religious or church-related facts, as his name might suggest, as his real name might suggest. Okay, what have we got here? Oh, no, they're not always. Sometimes they're just other historical facts. But the first one here. Today, in 480 BC... coinciding with the Spartan Carneia Festival, the Battle of Thermopylae began. Ah, great. Love the Battle of Thermopylae. Of course, if anyone's seen the film 300. But you'll get good details in. It's Herodotus, isn't it? Doesn't Herodotus talk all about it? The original, the best source? Is it Herodotus? Great bit of history. Absolutely brilliant bit of history. And afterwards, you've got the Battle of Salamis at sea and the Battle of Plataea on land. A lot of historians say at the time and now, although they don't all agree on it now, but that the holding effect that Thermopylae had, because the pass at Thermopylae only really held up the Persian army for so long, that really, really helped the rest of the Greek world to ultimately defeat the Persians at Plataea and Salamis. That the largely Spartans, not exclusively Spartans, but largely Spartans that held the line for a while at Thermopylae made all the difference. That their lives weren't given in vain. All that sort of thing. King Leonidas, you know the story. Probably do. If you don't, check it out. Look it up. Don't just watch 300. Watch a proper documentary, or read, dare I say, read Herodotus. Okay, all right. The second factoid here, you say, on this day in the year 636 AD, the Byzantines were defeated by the Muslims at Yarmouk, ending Roman Syria. Yeah, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting to note? How quickly the Muslim hordes burst out of Arabia. It was like the death of Muhammad himself is supposed to be, if he's not a fictional figure, Tom Holland, the historian, not the actor, in his book In the Shadow of the Sword, I believe it was called, makes the argument that there's at least an element of fiction to the life of Muhammad, if not more than a mere element. Anyway, the date he's supposed to have died is 632, something like that. Is that right? 632? It's about then, anyway. So not long after, or straight after, really. Muslim armies just sweep out of the Arabian Peninsula in all directions, basically. Conquering nearly everything in their path. I mean, the world in the early 7th century was war-weary and at a low ebb. Ripe for being reconquered. Nonetheless, the Byzantines beaten at Yarmouk, which is like it's a long way from Constantinople. I mean, I believe that's like right at the bottom of modern day Syria, or right near the top of modern day Israel, near modern day Lebanon, that part. So not really anywhere near Turkey or Constantinople, but nonetheless, still. The Byzantines, on paper, would have thought shouldn't have been defeated by what until very recently was just a ragtag Arab cobbled together little more than Bedouin raiders. Oh no, now they're a professional army that can beat the Byzantines. Whoa, look out. Still takes them another, 800 years before they actually take Constantinople, nonetheless. Okay, all right. Thanks for that global church history. What other ones we got here? Matthew C. How are you, sir? Super fan, appreciate it. You say, to the government, they do manage to deport dangerous foreign criminals like Boris Becker. Yeah. I'm sure they'll move on to the murderers and child abusers any day now. I detect a hint of sarcasm there from Matty C. Yeah, Boris Becker can't come in. That Ava Vladerbrook, I always forget her name, she can't come in. There's a number of people that haven't done anything wrong. They're just slightly right-leaning or something. That they're stopped at the borders and can't come in. But yeah, actual unvetted invaders. Come on in. We won't put you in a hotel anymore. We'll put you in an actual house in rural Buckinghamshire or something. Quite a good deal, isn't it? For them. Okay. Pigdog 5150 said, Oulu City in Finland and the Stop Don't Touch Me There / the No-No Square Dance. Yeah, that was it. Stop Don't Touch Me There. I remember it, yeah. And then you've just put a face of like a sort of face. And then you've written, why don't these Westerners think, if we have to do these leaflet dances, maybe we shouldn't bring them in? Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Yeah, that's exactly the question. Yeah. Once you get to a point where you have to pay some liberal women to do a little dance about their no-no square and stop, don't touch me there, or put out a pamphlet like that one, do you remember in this country, as an under 16-year-old isn't able to consent and you might lose your asylum claim if you do anything to them. Once you're in that position, it's already far beyond the power. It's already far too late, isn't it? It's already way beyond that very thing being able to significantly help, isn't it? Yeah, of course. Absolutely. All right. Fictagus says, breaking. Meghan and Harry to cut the ribbon of the opening of multiple vape shops and Turkish barbers. I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised. Ugh. UK minarchist says, re my rant Tuesday with regards to your rant on Tuesday. I'm sorry, I don't don't recall it. I don't commit these to memory very often. Sorry. But anyway, you go on to say, a quote, I guess you're quoting yourself, women in power, is there a first? Oh, I remember that one. So I do remember that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you put it on Twitter as well, didn't you? Sorry, I do remember that. Yep. And then you say, I fear you went off at the wrong angle. Oh, did I? Apologies then. You say, I was thinking feminism and groupthink. See Helen Andrews. Oh, okay. It was never meant to be a pop at you anyway. Didn't mean it like that. I just got the wrong end of the stick, got the wrong angle of what you're saying. Oh, well, apologies. It happens. Feminism and groupthink, has that ever really happened before? I mean, there have been matriarchal societies, plenty of matriarchal societies, yeah, loads. Not loads, but a fair amount, fair few throughout history. But whether they're really the same thing, the same stripe as modern day fourth wave feminism, or what wave of feminism are even on, God knows. On like the 18th wave feminism, 18th ed edition of feminism, I don't know, God knows. The modern type of feminism and groupthink we've got in the West now hasn't happened before, as far as I'm aware. But there have been all sorts of matriarchal societies where the women hold the whip hand and decide policy and effectively and stuff like that. But yeah, well, again, apologies if I got the wrong end of the stick. I can only apologise. Thanks for the super chat. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, hello, Bo. All right. Morning. You all right? Say, hello, Bo. Been enjoying your skirmish with elite theorists, TM. Yeah. They're like an obese North FC football fan screaming what they would do from the stands whilst never doing anything constructive. Yeah. It's all a bit of a storm in a teacup, really. No, it's beneath contempt as far as I'm concerned. I don't buy the elite theory is so infallible, so always correct, that you should give up already. Give up at the ballot box. Just don't buy it. I'm not going to do it anyway. Now, I'll fight for a lost cause anyway, because I'm just not going to sit at home and do nothing in silence. That's what they want us to do. It's not quibbling over nothing, is it? It's not quibbling over nothing. We're in an existential crisis here. Right? Fighting for our lives, our existence. It's not nothing. It's not just a small point of doctrine. It's really important. Perhaps the most important. I said before, haven't I? This is our battle, our war of our age, of our generation. It's our struggle in this generation is this. And I'm not going to sit at home. I'm not going to sit at home and just pie myself in the face. If I have to pie myself in public and ultimately lose, so be it. If you really think that, just let us do it. If you think it's not worth it, that's fine. You sit at home, you do that. Why try and stop anyone else from trying, though? No, I'm not going to have it. Right. Pigdog 5150 says, history-related things that fascinate me are events or people who existed, stroke, happened at the same time. Star Wars and France's last guillotine execution. Oxford Uni and the rise of the Aztec Empire. Yeah, I like that as well. Yeah, it's really quite interesting to realize. Like, what else was going on in the world in 1066, for example? Or the 1060s. 1050s, 1060s. What else was going on at the time? Right, Great Schism in the church. The Norman conquest of Sicily, that sort of thing. What else was going on in the world in 1588, Spanish Armada times? Queen Elizabeth, Spanish Armada times. What was going on in Japan in 1588? Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I love it too. Yeah. Okay, they're the Rumble Rants. Let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. Okay, there they are. Cheers, Harry. Okay, so the first one is from Zaya01, they don't say anything. It just gives a little bit of money there, so I appreciate that. Thank you. The next one is from Opening Doors 1. Says, no, don't come in here. This is my no-no square. Yeah, so people remember. Was it Sweden or did someone else say Finland? Was it Finland? Anyway, people remember that, yeah. I mean, cringe isn't the word. Like, when something transcends cringe. That transcended cringe, really. Okay, Emily for Restore says, if you grape a child, you may get less money support. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The tone, the tenor of that, the sort of the subtext behind that. We need to make sure you still get your support and money and gibs and accommodation and your asylum claim goes through. As an ancillary to that, make sure you don't sexually assault children. I know. Talk about perverse, inverse, reverse sense of priority. Yeah. Oh, another Rumble Rant just chicked in from Hughman17, who just gifted one subscription to Gimli O'Gloin. Brilliant. Thank you. Cool. Thanks for that. Super stuff. All right. Yeah, do subscribe. Do subscribe. Was a subscription or something more than that? Have we got memberships on this channel yet? I don't even know. I don't deal with any of that. All right. Do get the bell on, though. Do a thumbs up. Do a double thumbs up, Wee Jimmy Cranky style, Fan Dabby Dozy. You can't do a double thumbs up. If you clicked it twice, it would unlike it. So just do one thumbs up. Okay. Emily Four Restore says, Palestine doesn't exist today. It's called Jordan. Ooh. People at The Guardian would disagree with you there, but... Yeah, Palestine, I mean, could spend ages just talking about the word Palestine, what it really means to all different people through the ages as well. Like the West Bank. Is that Palestine? Is that just part of Jordan? Is it the West Bank? You know, is the Gaza Strip Palestine? Anyway. Okay, you make a reasonable point. Okay. Ian Randall 482 says, there are no men left in England. Calm down. Calm down. Ian Randall again says, a man will fight and not care about anything else. That's better. That's better. Come on, stiff up a lip, old boy. It's not over yet. We've only just begun. People haven't really had a chance to show their true colours yet. Okay. Oh, and another free subscription just came in over on Rumble Rants. Intelligentsia gifted one to Jebbery308. Okay. Emily Forrestore says, don't care. Fewer fake Stinians to destroy Europe. Are you talking about that family that was drowned? Is that what you're talking about? We've got T's and C's here. Moving on. I don't want to destroy the channel. The YouTube channel, not the English channel. Tatum2733 says, there's something Homeric about invoking Harry from chat. How like Homer's gods could hear you and just show up or respond casually, but might not. Or is that like sometimes people will say in the chat, Harry, little Harry, save us, help us, do something or other. And he may, like a true capricious god, he may or may not turn up to save the day. Is that what you mean? Do we not have any mods in there? Okay. Diana Bauer, 3960 says, How about asking people would they want to bear arms? As the government nor the police protect them? Good question. Yeah, good question. I mean, in Britain, a lot, you can buy guns. You can't get handguns. You can't buy a pistol. But you can buy shotguns, rifles. If you jump through the right hoops and fill out the right forms and go to the right gun clubs and do all the red tape, you can own a 50 cal gun, a 50 caliber rifle in Britain. You can own guns, just not pistols. A lot of people say, oh, you gave up your guns. You can't own guns in Britain. It's just not true. Not pistols. Can't get like a Glock 19 with an extended clip. Can't get that. Well, you can't get any pistol. Can't get a Desert Eagle. Can't get a 44 Magnum with a really long barrel. Actually, you can get those things, but then you have to have like a weird... People do it. You have like a weird, really long stock, like skeleton stock thing coming off the end of the... off the bottom of the handle so that it reaches a certain length and then it can be classed as not a handgun anymore. And then you can have that. They look crap and weird, but You can get guns in England. You just, not every type of gun. Anyway, enough about that. Ian Randall again says, a meritocracy is the only government that works. Merit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, yes and no. There's examples throughout history of... I don't know, there's a lot to unpack there. I haven't really got time. I'm on the podcast today. I'm on the main podcast today, so I have to go and do my segment. So I can't spend too long. It's already 9:15. Okay, in fact, I will whip through the next half a dozen or more that are here. What have we got? Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me. That's their name. At Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me says, Ghent Uni investigating Nathan Kofnas for outing fraud and bully Jason Arday. A guy who sicked police lawyers on innocence. Another reason to hate Belgium. Ghent Uni. Is that right? Is this real? Is this just a fictional so you can have a pop at them? Or is that real? Interesting if it's real. Very interesting if it's real. Okay, Zaya01 says, on Friday, slop of the week story, just for fun. Not a terrible idea. Not a bad idea. Maybe something like that. People don't like slop, though, do they? Like, largely. I try and keep slop to a minimum, right? When it's something about football or the Royals or it's like just Daily Star slop, I try and move over it quite quickly. I don't want to make... you can't avoid slop, really. Not on this type of show. You're talking about the legacy corporate mainstream media. You can't avoid a little bit of slop. Do people want more slop? We revel in the slop. Maybe. I'll think about it. Once a week. Maybe. Okay. Emily for Restore says, Slim claims every country on earth. It has 50 plus. What's that about? What are you talking about? Slim. Is that a spelling error? Is that an acronym? I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Is it supposed to be Islam? That, it must be a typo. It must be a typo, and you meant to put Islam. Or do other people call Islam Slim in order to get around YouTube censorship? That's surely what you mean. Yeah. That is the nature of Islam, that it's... The whole world should be Islamic, yeah. Ultimately, yeah. You're right. Absolutely right. Erwin Romulus is a proselytizing creed. If it could, the whole world would be Islamic. Right, quite right. Erwin Romulus says, a friendly alien gifts you a time-traveling helicopter, which is completely undetectable, and anyone outside it. Which battle do you go to and watch first? Which battle do I go to and watch first? Probably... the Battle of Issus or Gaugamela, one of the two big Alexander ones against Darius of Persia. Probably that. Yeah. To see Alexander leading the cavalry charge against the massed ranks of Persians with his bronze sword and his golden crown leading the charge. I'd want to see that. I think Issus. Or Gaugamela. One of those. Have to flip a coin. Okay. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, the Elite Theory crew are merely agents of Eamon. Eamon Holmes, the evil mastermind behind everything that has ever happened. Of course not. Get well soon, Ames. Genuinely get well soon, Eamon Holmes. Okay, and the last two here. ATGP9PN. It's just a collection of letters and numbers as far as I can see. It says, morning, Bo. It's spelled B-E-A-U, not B-O, but I appreciate it. But thanks for the... don't mean to be a dick. Appreciate the super chat. He said, morning, Bo. You're a man of history. When has a country been saved without the need of violence? I feel we won't vote our way out of this. A number of times. Okay, you'll send it. What ones? Give examples. Read a book. Zenothium, that was unnecessarily unkind. Thanks for the super chat, appreciate it. But a number of times. Been in worse situations than this. Okay. Zenothium 15 says, on this day in history, the second sword is pulled from the stone by interrogator chaplain Eamon Holmes, launching the first black crusade, launching his first black crusade. Another Eamon Holmes joke there. Okay. Sorry about that, Ames. Do get well soon, mate. Genuinely, got nothing against Eamon Holmes. Seems like a nice guy. All right, that's the show. It's now 20 minutes past nine in the AM, British summertime, on Thursday the 20th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. You know, the most valuable thing you will ever have by orders of magnitude is your time. Far more valuable than any gold or gems or cars or houses you might ever own. You can't take that with you. Most valuable thing you have, will ever have, is your time. Try and make it count if you can. All right, I don't want to get too preachy about it. You do you. Until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.